Hello, teens on the internet. You're listening to Jeff from Snack Point Charlie on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, home of the hits.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and local music is our focus on the WGXC morning show today. We will hear what local venues are doing in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic roaring back, what regulations are in place at different local venues, which ones are holding shows and which ones are not. We'll also hear some new local music today from Rodney Allen Greenbet, from Catskill, the Jaded Azurides, which includes Columbia County poet Karen Schomer, and Rambutan, which includes Eric Hardiman from up around Saratoga way. Plus, we'll hear an interview with the Escher String Quartet that perform at September 12th at SUNY Albany's Page Hall Auditorium. And it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Honey, did you know the Roelof Janssen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copake, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rojan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rojan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rojan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just 3 employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Paul Nelson is reporting for the Times Union. On September 5th, Amtrak will resume all scheduled service between New York City and Albany Rensselaer Station, along with other services, the rail service has announced. Trains will also be operating again along the Empire Service and Maple Leaf routes. The Ethan Allen Express and Amtrak trains 48 and 49 and the Lakeshore Limited to and from Chicago. The service and others along the Hudson River were temporarily shut down after the area was hit hard last week by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. Anyone looking for more information is advised to call 1-800-USA-RAIL. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Wendy Liberatore is reporting for the Times Union about another death from COVID-19 announced in Albany September 6th.
Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said in a press release, and I quote, "We have lost another resident to COVID-19, and my sympathy goes out to that family and the families of everyone who is grieving for a loved one who was taken by the virus. Each day we move closer to reaching herd immunity. Each day we move closer to approval of vaccinations for those under 12 and for boosters for those who are already vaccinated. Each day I pray it will be the last that I announce the death of another Albany County resident and this pandemic comes to an end. Be a part of the solution and encourage those you know who haven't been vaccinated to get a shot today," end quote. Albany County also reported 55 new cases on September 6. The county's five-day average of new daily positive cases is at 80.2, with a seven-day average of positive percent rate at 4.7%. Anyone 12 years old or older can get a shot of Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson vaccines from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Albany County Department of Health, 175 Green Street in Albany. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that good government organizations, press groups, and advocates for people with disabilities in New York last week called for a public hearing on the state's open meetings law after state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul agreed to allow government bodies to meet remotely until January 15th. Local and state government entities must provide electronic access to meetings for the public. The measure was approved as the more contagious Delta variant has led to a spike in transmissions and hospitalizations. The state of emergency previously allowed government bodies to meet remotely during the pandemic has expired. Hochul said after signing the measure into law, quote, "This is common sense legislation, extends a privilege that not only helps New Yorkers participate safely in the political process, but also increases New Yorkers' access to their government by allowing for more options to view public meetings," unquote. However, the new measure has created concerns from open government advocates that in-person access to elected officials will be limited by the move to allow a return to remote meetings. Quote, "New Yorkers should not have to choose between remote access and in-person public meetings," unquote, a letter from advocacy groups said last week. Quote, "It's possible to do both, and many public agencies have," unquote. Groups including Reinvent Albany, the New York Public Interest Research Group, Common Cause, the New York News Publishers Association, and the Center for the Independence of the Disabled, New York, are arguing to continue remote access for people who cannot otherwise attend in-person meetings. According to the coalition's letter, quote, "Unfortunately, many public bodies across the state return to in-person meetings without remote access and participation for New Yorkers at home. This was a burden for those unable to make it to meeting locations, which can often be hours away," unquote. The groups say a public hearing would provide an opportunity for the public, the press, and officials to weigh in on how the open meetings law should be amended to reflect stakeholders' changing needs. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports four more COVID-19 deaths in the Hudson Valley as of September 4. Two people died in Dutchess County and one each in Sullivan and Westchester counties. Greene County reported nine new cases September 4th. And there were 10 more in Columbia County. Ulster County reported 56 new cases, and Dutchess County reported 77 new COVID-19 cases. You can read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News.
Sam Raldins is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the city of Hudson is in the process of applying for a community development block grant and is looking for residents interested in participating in the program. Quote, "The intention is, of course, to rehabilitate homes to live in safely, not to flip in it for profit," unquote, Mayor's aide Michael Hoffman said. Applicants must own and occupy the home as their primary residence, according to the application. Grant funds can also be used to rehabilitate up to two rental units, provided the units remain affordable. The city must submit grant material by the end of September, and interested property owners should apply by September 20th, Hoffman said. The maximum grant award is $500,000, which translates to $30,000 to $40,000 per unit being renovated, Hoffman said. Applicants must make less than approximately $54,000 for a family of three to qualify. Preference will be given to those who earn $36,600 or less. If the award is granted, the city would receive the funds in 2022. The Common Council last month adopted the resolution authorizing Mayor Kamal Johnson to apply for the grant on the city's behalf. Those interested can apply on the city's website. Note, Johnson is a volunteer WGXC on-air programmer. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that some students are back in school this week for the first time in 18 months, while the COVID-19 pandemic is roaring back. There are some rules in place to reduce the inevitable spread of COVID-19 in New York schools, including universal masking requirements for those indoors and on buses, and regardless of vaccination status. Unvaccinated adult school personnel will be tested weekly for COVID-19. The question if schools have enough resources to enforce those rules will be answered this week. Kyle Belikopitsky, the executive of New York State PTA, said, and I quote, "School districts will need that support to get this done, and I think the intention is well. It's to protect the children who cannot be vaccinated. But we're going to have to do everything we can to help school districts. This is going to be a logistics issue. Now we're trying to figure out logistically how we can get this work done," end quote. New York State United Teachers President Andy Pallotta backed the state mandates. He said, and I quote, "We want to see all the mitigation strategies in place. Ventilation, masking, the cleaning that has to take place. We want to see all that going on a constant basis," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And Shanice Holmes Brown reports in the Times Union that the number of deaths from motorcycle crashes in New York increased by 35% from 2019 to 2020, according to the State Department of Motor Vehicles. Quote, "Despite fewer vehicles on the road last year, we saw a startling increase in deadly motorcycle crashes and every life lost was someone's loved one," unquote, DMV Commissioner Mark J.F. Schroeder said in a written statement. Officials said one explanation for the increase in motorcycle fatalities is that more people bought motorcycles during the pandemic, state officials said. Quote, "I think the pandemic made people look a little bit more at outside activities. People wanted to be more outside oriented because anything that was happening indoors got canceled," unquote, said State Police Trooper Ian D. Giovanni. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said, quote, "Driving patterns and behaviors," unquote, changed last year, and, quote, "Drivers who remained on the roads engaged in more risky behavior, including speeding, failing to wear seatbelts, and driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol," unquote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 81 degrees. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 61 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC on Tuesday, September 7th, including at 10 a.m. we travel to Morocco with the Synth Eclectico show. And then we hear more early electro mix at 11 a.m. The new show on WGXC features tracks today from Ilhan Mimaroglu, Rune Lindblad, and Ray Cathode. At noon, after the local news, it's time for DJ Patty Boom, who is beaming in from Cornwallville in Greene County with all sorts of rock, pop, funk, reggae, and more. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, and Anna Frizz is our featured artist today in her work Collecting Clocks and Losing Time. At 4 p.m. on the WGXC afternoon show, we've got a busy program with Columbia County Fair Housing Department Director Bill Fisher and County Housing Authority Board Chair Teresa Mayhew, providing updates on housing programs and pandemic relief. Also, Randall Martin will have an interview with Don Kropf, the Democratic candidate for Columbia County Sheriff, discussing his campaign on the radio at 90.7 FM. At 6 p.m. on the All Together Now show, we will hear the premiere of Green Nation, an informational segment stoking the fire for a sustainable future for Green County, with host Mabel Bermejo and Leslie Ritter. They speak with Beth Schneck, the Deputy Director of CREATE, the Arts Council for Green, Columbia, and Schoharie Counties, about the upcoming Flash Film Fest that's at the Greenville Drive-In on September 30th. Then stay tuned for music on Tuesday night with Leprous Garden, the death metal show from Mantis at 8 p.m., and Battlefield Earth, live from somewhere in Columbia County with Dan Seward from Bunny Brains at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Live music is coming back, and you can find out listings of local live music events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Where you found out about shows like the Live Skull Reunion of the post-punk experimental rock band is playing at Tubby's on September 17th with Thalia Zedek opening. This is a major show locally, and Tubby's is reopening soon in Kingston, and we'll have shows. You can go to tubbyskingston.com for more information about this show, and WGXC.org in the community calendar for more information about all sorts of other shows and performances locally in the WGXC community calendar.
Hear music and sounds, radio art and melodies every day from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Weekdays, there is all sorts of local talk, interviews with your friends and neighbors, music from down in the valley, previews of local events, and more, weekdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Then stay tuned for WGXC Live at 8 p.m. with live DJs, live events, live broadcasts, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, September 7th. A nice day in store, going to be sunny with a high of 79 at 3 p.m. Overnight, it will get down to 60 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll have a high of 82 and will bring thunderstorms back to the area in the afternoon. Rain will continue overnight as temperatures fall to 63 degrees. Friday, we'll have lingering rain and a high of 76. Saturday is looking nice and dry with a high of 72. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:31 a.m., low tide at 10:29 a.m., high tide at 4:06 p.m., and low tide again at 10:38 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:07 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:23 a.m. Looking way up, we see a small CME is expected to stir some magnetic activity tomorrow into Thursday. Solar wind speed is currently 291 kilometers per second at 13.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 80. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tim Hunt of Tilson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said. Now repeat.
That was Farfisa Gnome Fish Chord from Catskills' Rodney Allen Greenbat from his 2021 album To Just Be. From the 2021 album Course in Fable, here is Riley Walker with Striking Down Your Big Premiere, and his band includes some heavyweights, including John McIntyre from Tortoise on synths and keys and vibraphone, Bill McKay on guitar and piano, Andrew Scott Young on bass, and Riley Walker himself plays guitar and sings. And Riley Walker will be performing at Tubby's in Kingston on September 9th.
Up high on the slums across crosstalk bound by stirring tea. If I could squeeze cents to pounds, conversion rates buried in sound, blasting from a car with blurry tags. The burnouts heard from parking lots of suburban box stores shut my mouth. I finally fired a bullet into my sleeve. Months break off, hands the clock, I painfully flatten out a rock. Got a home rotten to my throat. Can the careless from the birth of Aries, menthol lights that could not scare us, take us above, high on the slums of crosstalk bound by stirring tea.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Far too many of these workers died because they did not have basic protections. They didn't have a government that was on their side.
Ohio Democratic Senator and Banking Committee Chair Sherrod Brown says an unprecedented number of frontline workers died on the job this year from COVID-19. Brown testified Monday at a Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee virtual hearing on workers' rights and the government's role in protecting workers. More than 7 million Americans lost their emergency federal unemployment benefits yesterday. 26 states pulled out of the extra $300 in unemployment income earlier this summer as businesses struggled to fill job openings. The White House says there are no plans to expand federal unemployment benefits any further. Executive Director at the National Black Workers Center, Tanya Wallace, says the decision will particularly affect workers of color.
Racism, unemployment, and low-wage work are multipliers of inequity that are experienced by families already struggling with poverty.
Over the weekend, President Biden approved disaster declarations for New York and New Jersey. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said Ida caused more than $50 million in damages after the storm's record-breaking rainfall of 3.1 inches per hour last week. New York had 17 confirmed deaths, and in New Jersey, there were at least 27 confirmed deaths and 4 people missing. Biden is expected to visit the region today. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says his state is now in a dire situation because of a surge in new coronavirus cases driven by the Delta variant. Meanwhile, health professionals are concerned misinformation may be leading pregnant women to choose not to get the COVID vaccine despite universal recommendations from medical groups that they do so. Dr. Jessica Branham is an OBGYN at Appalachian Regional Healthcare in the eastern part of the state.
We have tons and tons of good data showing that women who are pregnant have received their COVID-19 vaccine, and that they are not only doing well, but it is actually showing protective effect for the newborn baby as well.
The Department of Justice on Monday said it will provide support for women who are seeking abortions in Texas amid turmoil following the passage of a controversial restrictive abortion law in the state. Attorney General Merrick Garland said the department will explore all options to challenge the new Texas law. Finally, at least four planes chartered to evacuate several hundred people seeking to escape the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan have been unable to leave the country for days, officials said Sunday. Republican Representative Michael McCaul of Texas said the Taliban was preventing Americans from leaving. Afghan officials say the passengers were Afghans, many of whom lacked passports or visas. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
The Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to wgxc.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham's Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC with this report about local music. Live music returned locally earlier this summer when COVID-19 case numbers were receding. Many of the first live music events were outdoors in places such as the TSL parking lot in Hudson or the Greenville Drive-In or at local town pavilions. Now, though, the Delta variant of coronavirus is creating large number of cases and a growing number of deaths. Here is a roundup of what is going on with local music venues. The Main Street pub, Lick House in Philmont, has been hosting musicians outside on its porch this summer, mostly on Friday evenings. The Colony Cafe in Woodstock had indoor concerts in August, but stopped this month. Quote, "With an abundance of caution and with the safety of our staff, attendees, and artists at the top of our priorities, we have decided to move our September indoor ticketed events to our outdoor beer garden stage. Because of local curfews and noise ordinances that come with outdoor amplified music, some events have moved to slightly earlier start times," unquote. Previously, Colony Cafe were only allowing the vaccinated at their indoor shows, with masks required. The Feelies are scheduled there November 5th, and it would seem by then shows will be indoors again or canceled. Avalon Lounge in Catskill has been hosting jazz legend Bobby Previtt playing outside on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., weather permitting. They are also holding indoor concerts, but only for those with a proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test from the past 72 hours. Catskill-based rocker Reckless Eric plays there September 17th. Hudson Hall, better known as the Hudson Opera House, requires masks for all, and also that all attendees, performers, staff, and volunteers are vaccinated and stay 6 feet apart. Quote, "For events designed for families and youth, unvaccinated children under 12 may attend. For the safety of the community, we are not making exceptions for people unable to be vaccinated for medical reasons. Please note, we do not accept negative COVID tests in lieu of vaccination," unquote, according to their website. Pianist Jenny Lynn performs there on October 2nd. Gavin's Country Inn in East Durham has live music, but no mention of COVID-19 or taking any precautions on their website. Blackthorn Resort in East Durham does not have any COVID-19 regulations on their website, nor any mention of the global pandemic, and are continuing to host live music. The Chicken Run in Wyndham has live music again, but no mention of COVID-19 or taking any precautions on their website. Tubby's in Kingston is starting to host live music again September 9th with a Riley Walker concert, but their website does not mention anything about COVID-19 precautions. Basilica Hudson has not been hosting live music in their space. They attempted to hold their annual Soundscape Festival at PS21 in Chatham this summer, but that was canceled after headliner William Baczynski put his entire tour on hold, and others in the music industry began scaling back tours because of the rise of the Delta variant of COVID-19. The Half Moon in Hudson has sold pizza Tuesdays through Saturdays, while their stage remains empty. Helsinki Hudson remains closed, both the restaurant and the live music space. You can find out more about this story in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
When I was a young boy, my mama said to me, there's only one girl in the world for you, but she probably lives in Tahiti. I call the whole wide world, I call the whole wide world just to find her. Maybe she's in the Bahamas, where the Caribbean sea is blue. We've been in a tropical moonlit night, because nobody's told about you. I call the whole wide world.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Friends of Chamber Music of Troy, New York, announced their new concert season with the Escher String Quartet on September 12th. Talking with us today is Jennifer Lawson of the Friends of the Chamber Music. We're talking today about the popular performance in context. It's a series of discussions over Zoom with musicians from the current concert season. Through the Friends of Chamber Music, you'll have a performance in context. September the 9th, it's going to be done by Zoom.
We have the musicians as panelists.
That's the Escher String Quartet.
We started the Performance in Context series last year because since things were virtual, we thought it would allow our audience to connect with the musicians in a way that they wouldn't be able to connect just by viewing an online concert. But it had been something I wanted to do for a long time. I think that for people to enjoy being part of an audience, sometimes for them to understand something about the musicians' lives, the equipment they're playing is important. And I also think it's important for all of us to think about the significance of the artist in the community. So I wanted to explore those ideas.
The Escher String Quartet, they're amazing. The power and the emotion behind the pieces, it was just riveting to me. Performance in Context, is this something you personally developed?
Started it last year. Well, I had this idea. The first year I was here, I added pre-concert talks, like live talks before the, and I was really careful to choose groups that incorporated talking into their presentation. So for instance, the St. Lawrence String Quartet, they do any number of possible talks, but they have a program about Haydn and they demonstrate, you know, this is what Haydn's doing here and this is why this is interesting. And the audience really appreciates that. And they're learning also. And then they play the concert and everyone gets what they were talking about in context, right? And I thought that that was pretty successful because people would remarked about it, would approach me and tell me how much they enjoyed it. Their favorite musicians on the programs that we did that whole year were those that were very engaging in that part of it. But I really had in the back of my mind that I wanted to expand these in one way or another. So last year when we went virtual and I was thinking, well, if we only have 6 programs and they're all virtual, and we want to get our audience to connect with each other like they would in a normal year, this might be something we can do virtually. So I kind of looked at other models. There's something called Group Muse that evolved in Manhattan and Boston, and it's all over the United States in big cities, and where musicians perform in apartments or in lofts or in and there's a website you go to, and if you have a venue you can offer your venue, and if you're a musician you can select a venue. So chamber music is played all over the city, in New York City, all over Seattle and Portland and Baltimore, and we don't have it in Albany, but we ought to have it in Albany. And people are sitting in their living rooms. They're like 2 feet from the musicians. You buy your tickets online. You know, the tickets could be $10 or they might be $50. It's sort of decided by the musicians. And the Escher play these group muses. When they went virtual, I was very curious. So I contacted the person who started Group Muse to see what they were doing. And I visited the group muses that they were doing virtually. And they had a period, people would enter early by Zoom and they would meet each other. So they would like put everybody in a separate room with 3 or 4 other group musers, people who were there in the audience. And so I was in a room with somebody from San Francisco and Toronto and Seattle. And how did you come to Group Muse? And we talked and we kind of connected. And then from there, they hosted their concerts on YouTube Premiere. So then you go to the YouTube Premiere, and then afterwards you have a Zoom, and they had the artists on the Zoom, and you could talk with the artists. The artists are now sitting in their living room telling, you know, and they were trying to capture this. So I thought, and you know, the technology didn't work that well. They got better toward the end. People had trouble navigating from one place to another and back. But I watched and participated in several of those just to see how they worked. And I thought, we can do this. We can do something like this. So that was how it started. I picked the Group Muse people's brains, and that's how we did it.
And so such a good idea.
So that was the other thing. You know, chamber music is up close and personal. It's not like going to watch the Rolling Stones and who, you know.
Yeah, you're one of the
multitudes. You're one of 3 million. you know, you do have a chance to feel like you know them and talk with them. I've met the Escher many times, you know. We have lots of other groups coming that will be great. Well, if you pull up our website, you'll see the full listings under season. In October, we're going to be showing a documentary and about the Dover Quartet, which will be the next quartet on the series. So we don't have information about the film up yet because we're hoping to do it at the Linda. A public showing at the Linda.
And that's in October.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Now we know what to look for in the future.
Yeah. Then in November, we have the Dover Quartet. And we'll also have, on Performance in Context, we'll have an interview with 6 really adventurous composers. They have a group that is a laptop ensemble. Ensemble Dakota. They've individually been pretty, they're young composers. They've just finished their doctorate degrees. But they're led by an Iranian female composer whose works are really being recorded a lot now by ensembles, especially chamber music ensembles. So it would be fun to talk with these rising star composers who have this laptop ensemble.
So they've been actually in quarantine while they've been putting things together. I mean, have they done it all via laptop?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they were in quarantine. They were not in person for a long time, I think. Well, you'll see, if you go on the website, you'll see a picture of them all performing together with the laptops. So when they're in the dark and the laptop light is on their faces. The laptop is a hub for interacting with instruments that are either invented or they might be, like in one case, they are orange boxes, you know, the boxes that oranges come in, that is somehow wired and can be played through the laptop. There's one where they use these stones and they can turn the stones and get different sound effects. Some of them have lighting and animation that is done along with it. And some of them, it is acoustical, normal acoustical instruments that are used, but the laptop is the hub for the whole thing. And it's fascinating.
Dakota? No.
D-C-O-D-A, like to decode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh. Okay, so we got lots more to do.
They're very cool, very cool.
And they're coming up here or not?
No, well, they will. They'll be up here also in November for a separate event, but I'm just going to interview them on Performance in Context. They will show clips of their work, which of course is easy to show since it is electronic and, you know, so I'll have them share clips of their work and talk about finding your own voice as a composer. I mean, what would make you go in this direction? You know, you have to be a highly independent and experimental person, because each of them plays a real instrument, like
classically trained.
Nilufar is a pianist and a composer, but it's the experimentation with this other, the pressing the boundaries like this, that is really fascinating to me. And that they were all on board to do it together. That's equally fascinating.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Firm vegetables, Pennsylvania Dutch symbols on bread packages, fresh and simple, half and half, injected with stabilizers at some factory. Not fear exactly. Morning mists on the tree farm. Woodchuck holes. Stumps. Birds making high-pitched sounds. One time a kingfisher flew from a bush screaming at me across the pond where the dam is, rattling the whole way. Yes, fear. A mechanical birth for thinking. Bumper car action, one moment to the next. It's humid and I'm alone in the house. Remember the ocean? No, I don't want to. The beach was summers ago, and I'm not about to get in the car during a pandemic. Isolation isn't that bad. I have lots, including pizza. Trucks rattle by. A baby hawk cries. Eggshells smell of willow. Stamped picture of a horse and buggy. Deer leap. Rabbits dart into thickets and are uncaught. Animals look at me and don't speak. Fear is entering a space of certainty. When I ride my bike, I think, don't ruin it by pushing. Just pedal. It's okay. Pedal till you get there.
That was Jaded Azarides with the song Best Before from their 2021 album Forthright. Jaded Azarides is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bass player Mike Watt. Tune in or turn out Saturday, October 23rd to John Cage's Rozart Mix, realized by artist Aaron Dillaway at Bard College in Annandale-on-Hudson. The performance will be at the John Cage Trust from noon to sunset with collaborating tape players including Twig Harper from Nautical Almanac, Rosie Actor Engel, John Weiss, Mike Colino, and C. Lavender. John Cage's Rozart Mix was composed in 1965 for a performance at Brandeis University's Rose Art Gallery. The score is correspondence between John Cage and Alvin Lucier concerning preparations for the concert utilizing tape loops. Aaron Dillaway, who's known for his work in Wolf Eyes and many other collaborations, was a former Wave Farm resident who worked with tape loops and cart machines in his residency in Accra. You can find out more about the Saturday, October 23rd performance of John Cage's Rozart Mix, realized by artist Aaron Dillaway, in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
September is Suicide Prevention Month, and New Yorkers are being asked to make use of training sessions that are available on how to respond to emotional crises, especially as the pandemic continues to affect mental health. At the National Alliance on Mental Illness Rochester, Samantha Colson says in the last few years, New York State has worked to fund mental health first aid sessions, so they're offered at low or no cost to the public and in schools. She thinks it's imperative that young people get this kind of training.
Just foundational training around mental health, mental illness, and how to support a friend that may be struggling. And that support should include, I'm here for you, I hear you, but now we need to get to a trusted adult that can really help you get the help that you need.
Find mental health first aid training on the Mental Health Association in New York State website, mhanys.org. Colson adds phone hotlines like 211 or 311 can directly connect New Yorkers to mental health care. And the National Crisis Helpline is at 800-273-TALK. Suicide is among the top causes of death among people ages 10 to 34, second only to unintentional injury, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Colson notes one reason people cite most often for not reaching out for support is the stigma surrounding mental health challenges, even though one in five U.S. adults experiences a mental illness. She says helping someone in an emotional crisis begins with small action steps.
I would tell that helper to first take a breath because it can seem overwhelming when someone's laying that on you, and do your best to center yourself and really listen non-judgmentally to that person that is sharing their experience and sharing their struggle.
More resources on suicide prevention and mental health crisis response are online at NAMI.org. I'm Michaela Savitt for New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
With spineless scales. With pyramidal whorls. Crown is open. Disintegrate when mature. Becomes twisted and dwarfed in exposed locations. They do not disintegrate. Eastern pines form pure stands.
That was Rambutan, which is Eric Hardiman's project. He lives in Del Mar, and during the pandemic, gathered all kinds of audio sounds from different musicians and put them together for this album, Parallel Systems. This track, System 3, that we just heard, featured Jeff Barsky, Ewan Curry, Columbia County's Karen Schomer, and Frank Ball. That's a 2021 release from Rambutan.